All right. Thanks, Ron. Thank you so much. And good evening, everybody. Good to have you here. Looks like a pretty good number tonight. And it's cooled down here some again after the warm week that we had last week and no rain for a week or two. And it certainly got to be in need, and we got it. A portion of it last night.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope we're going to get more tomorrow.
Yep.
And,
supposed to get 2 inches tomorrow.
Yeah. So we thank the Lord for what he, gives us, what he delivers to us, and for the fact that, he does is hold all things together and make them work in that situation. Last time, the study tonight is study 142 in, wisdom and, the workman's interlinear that we use of Jack Everlish. And, we're getting on, kind of on toward the end of it. We're getting over halfway in it now. So, and we read 12, but we didn't get the notes, but I'm going to go ahead and reread that and I won't, read my notes, but we'll look at Jack's, what he left for us to look at through the scripture. Because it's always interesting what he has certainly left for us to look at concerning these verses of scripture. And so, 12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. That's, I believe, six things that it mentions there. In that point where Paul is reminding Timothy to be an example and to set an example. And he is still feeding him these things of looking back somewhat. And it talks about thy youth, but really Timothy is not that young now, because he has been with Paul since, what, about the 16th chapter of
the book of
Acts. And so he's in his late 30s or maybe getting up toward 40 there. But it's pretty evident that he's still got a little growing up to do for one reason or the other. And so Paul is reminding of these things that he's seen or been involved in or heard or done. And then to realize, too, that Timothy was kind of a runner for the Apostle Paul. And Paul sent him on different errands to do when he was not with Paul. And so it was a kind of a catching up period there, I guess, in that part. And so we'll just go ahead and look at, we looked at Solomon 8:7 last time. So we're gonna start in the book of John tonight with this, and let's just look at these verses of scripture that Jack wanted us to look at to go in connection with what that verse of scripture was. So we're going to look at John 13, 34 and 35. And since I had all these things marked out in my Bible, I should have them ready here, but pretty much so is John 13, 34 and 35. Yeah. So John 13, 34 and 35 says this, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this same all men know that ye are my disciples, and if you have love one to another. And so he had said in 33 that a little while I'm with you, and he said, you'll seek me, and he said, whither I go, you cannot come now, for I say that to you. So he was telling him this because the Lord was telling him that because he was going back, and he was leaving them, and his time on the earth was about over in that sense, as because he was there to do a job and then be given his glory back from what he had before. And so we'll go from John to Galatians. We'll look at Galatians 1:13. And I'm not sure I had all these things in line, so we may be skipping around a little bit. Galatians 3, I said. No, Galatians 1:13, I'm sorry. This is Paul speaking to the Galatians, and he says, for you have heard of my conversation, or my manner of life, in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers.
Interesting how he calls what he used to be a part of the Jews' religion.
Yeah. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me to his grace to reveal his son in me. So Paul come to the understanding that he had been chosen by God for revelations and to set things up for this new understanding that was coming down the road. And here in Galatians, it certainly mentions that in that sense. And then he goes to 1 Corinthians 13. And that's on page 1918. Is that right? No, 1718. I'm sorry. So we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians. I didn't get that one in line either, but that's okay. We're close around all of this. 1 Corinthians 13. And it says to read all. Well, it's 13 verses. It says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, and is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own, and is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is not, which is in part, shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. That was the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. Now we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 6:6. In 2 Corinthians 6, he talks about giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. And so he's talking about his ministry here in 2 Timothy. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, and in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, in tumult, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. So, Paul covers a lot of things in his teachings here because he went from one dispensation to the other. Okay. That was, 2 Corinthians. Oh, and we need to turn the page a couple and go to chapter 8. You go to chapter 8 and look at verse 11. Well, let's just go back a little bit. He says, speak not by commandment, but by occasion for the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that is, there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. So he's talking about the things there that the Corinthians had or had been given that they wasn't using either properly or in the way that they should have. Okay. And to go on there in 2 Corinthians, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 11, which is another couple of pages. And Jack got, he got pretty big on doing this way for a little while. 11, 2, and 3. 2 Corinthians 11. We'll do 1, 2, 3. Would to God you could hear with me, you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preach another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not received, you might well bear with him. So, a little word to the wise and a little watching that goes along there with that. There. Turn with me on over to Philippians. Where are we going to? Philippians 1:17. Okay. We'll start with 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even as of envy and strife, and some also for goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the others of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Notwithstanding, what then, he says, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ be preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. So, in Philippians there, Paul is saying, for whatever reason it's done, the word of God being put forth is something that needs to be. Okay. And we run over and went past Ephesians, so let's back up a few pages to Ephesians. Because that's the reason I like to go back and do it in line, but I don't always do that. We're going to look at Ephesians 4:2. And generally, one goes with two. So he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewithin you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay, there's a couple more that Jack wanted us to see there. Let's turn the page and see what we got here. 4. That you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Okay, that was the second part of it. And then there is another one in 5:2 of Ephesians. So Jack carries that thought on to another chapter, which I just passed it, 5:2. Five one says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness of covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talk, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So really, this is the bedrock of part of Paul's witness here in the Mysterion Truth, is the giving of thanks, because it's really comes forward in our minds that we're here basically as users. These things that we have here are God's, but he allows us to use them, and we should be thankful for them. Because that's kind of the way that thing works. Okay. 5:2. Okay, we're going from there to 1 Peter 1. So I got some of them kind of in order, but not all of them. And I'm in 2 Peter. Let me get back in 1 Peter. 1. First Peter 1:15. Well, let's go back to 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manners of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Okay, that's 1 Peter 1:15. Okay. And then 1 John 3:3. I think we've already went by John. Haven't we? No, we went by James. First John. First John 3:3, page 1873. Three. 2:3. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. So, John has given us that word of understanding. And then chapter 3, verse 23. Okay. He said, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit, which he hath given us. So that is 1 John 3:23 and 24. Okay, so that wound up that particular verse in chapter 1 Timothy 4:12. So let's go back to our 1 Timothy chapter. And back 1 Timothy 4. We're about to coming close to the conclusion of 4. Boy, the dampness did make my Bible work too good. Okay, so that gets verse 12. Let's go to 13. He says, talking about his youth now and to be example to the believers in the word and conversation and love and spirit and faith and purity. He says, till I come. So he and Paul here is not together. So Timothy is being written to because he's away, I suppose. So till I come, give attendance to reading and to exhortation, to doctrine. So that's the way it comes to us in 1 Timothy 4:13. So he says, till I come, Paul says, give attendance or take heed or give note or to apply time to reading, studying the word, to exhortation, which is paraclesis, 3874 in the Strong. And it means consolation. To importation of one by solace or comfort in the word, to doctrine. And it's done to the doctrine, and that's for which to teach or to be able to teach. So, as we've said many times, one cannot teach what he doesn't know. So he is going back to Timothy, and I think there's a little reason for that. We'll read Jack's deal in that and see what he says. But let's look at what it says in the Koine Greek in 13. In 13 says, "Till I come, give heed to reading, to exhortation, and to teaching." And so, Brother Everly's notes here says this, because that's pretty much the same thing in the more modern English. It says, "Paul has a prescription for Timothy. For the interim until he arrives, Timothy is to read. Surely the preponderance of his reading should be to the scriptures. Paul's writing must be included in this. Timothy should also pass on that which he learned by exhorting the body members and teaching them. Timothy is not just taught so that he can revel in his knowledge and understanding of the word." And so he gives three or four places to look at here in that. So there, Paul is still treating Timothy like he is younger probably than he truly is. And so he may need that for the greater understanding that Paul is going to leave with him in the rest of this epistle plus 2 Timothy, because he is still giving him some sort of adjustment in his life to make sure that he is fully equipped to do everything that he's supposed to do, because he's going to be probably a familiar member of one that carries this on for a period of time after Paul is gone. So, we're going to look at these, things here in 13. I think I got them in order, but I'm not really sure. Looks like I have. So we're going to start off here talking about the doctrine with which to teach. We're going to start in Luke 4:16. So let's go back to the book of Luke. And look at 4:16. And I was looking in Luke this afternoon. And I found out something that I hadn't known before. And I've been studying it a little bit, so I'm not sure I want to mention it right now, but it talks about grace in Luke. And in Luke 1, it makes a statement in the notes in Luke 1 that grace was not mentioned in Matthew and Mark.
Amazing, isn't it?
Kind of eye-opening a little bit. Okay.
But now repent is.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to Luke 4, and we're going to look at 14, 15, 16. Okay, 14 says, talking about the devil within it is temptation, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogue, being glorified of all. And in 16, and he says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And we know what he read, and we know how he closed the book.
Yep.
Because that wasn't for this particular time, but that's what they had given him to read. So Jack brought this up because he was telling Timothy to be diligent in your reading, you know, and to really bear down on that. So I could see why this note was put in there, or this passage of scripture was put in there. Okay. Now we're going to go to John 14. And it's not too hard to find something around John 14. I got a page there that's about to be missing. I've got another Bible, but I hadn't got started in it yet. Okay. John 14. We're going to look at 13 through 16. Well, let's start with 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall I do also. The works that I do, shall he do also. And greater work than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if you will love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And so this is John 14. Okay. John 14 through 12 through 16. Okay, we're going to go back to Acts 13 again. So, see if we can find 13 again. I was there a little bit ago. Or to be able to find it again. Acts 13, we're going to look at 13 through 16 in this one. Did we read that a while ago?
Which one?
Acts 13. 13 through 16. No, I don't
know. No. I don't see it listed in Paul's
list. Yeah, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, for men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Well, you don't say that to Paul.
No, you don't give him
that. Without giving him a chance. And then it said, and Paul stood up. He never missed a chance to expound upon the word of God.
Yep.
never missed a chance, I don't think. Okay. 2 Corinthians 3. Again, back to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 3, we're going to look at 12 through 14. Okay. Need to go one more page. 12 through 14. Paul says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end, that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Which veil is done away with in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. So that was a sad commentary for...
I believe the veil was still upon their heart all the way up to the day where they were unplugged.
Yeah, for the children of Israel. Sure. And we go to 2 Timothy 2. Okay. Just a little bit of past where we are taking it. 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So he is here still urging Timothy on and on to get with it and teach Christ. And then look at 2:15, it says in 2 Timothy while we're here. And everybody knows this one. For sure, you should study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is a statement of statements. That even continues on in your life, that you should not be ashamed of your work. Everybody makes mistakes and things that they do in their work from time to time. You're never 100%, but yet you should treat your work ethic like it is as your study ethic. So be assured that God would agree that you've made a right decision as to what you do and how you do it. Okay. Is there another one there? Yeah. Look at 2 Timothy 4:8. 4:8. Second Timothy 4:8, we're getting to the end of that one. Well, this is Paul telling Timothy here that his time here is about over. Let's look 6, 7, and 8 because we've looked at it 2 or 3 times in the times past. He says, for I am now ready to be offered or ready to be poured out. And the time of my departure is at hand. So, and it says at hand is the same as instant in verse 2. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearance. And then he asked Timothy to do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. He wanted to see Timothy again. Okay, so that got that one in 12. And that's what Jack wanted us to look at. How much time we got left, right?
It's 9:21.
Well, we're going to... Let's just go ahead and read the next one anyway, and then we'll finish it up next time. But it may be... next Wednesday, I may not do this for studying and what I want to do. And, but let's go ahead and read this verse of scripture in, 1 Timothy 4:14. And it says this. Yeah, we might need to look at this and read Jack's part, and then we'll read the notes that goes with this one too next time. And it may be a couple of weeks down the road. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands by the presbytery. You see, Timothy had been with Paul in the dispensation before. But here he is talking about something that looks like he's went back one dispensation, but the way it's worded out, Jack seems to believe that it was something that Paul got by revelation that he might mention it to Timothy. To recall something that he had got from prophecy sometime. And so it was kind of, to me it was a little strange that it was there, but maybe Jack's...
Well, that gift that he got, I'll give you my take on it. Paul's saying don't forget or don't neglect that gift that is in thee.
Yeah.
That was given thee by prophecy with the laying on. So whenever they laid their, Paul laid his hands on Timothy, he imparted into him that
yeah.
spirit.
Yeah.
Now, even though we've changed, even though he got the spirit when he was in Acts, he still has that spirit by the time Paul writes this to him.
Yeah.
At the very end of his life, at
yeah.
the very end of Paul's life. And he knows Timothy still has it because that spirit doesn't die.
Doesn't leave.
It doesn't leave or it doesn't die, but how a man uses it or acts on it can change. And I believe that that's what Paul is reminding Timothy of, is you got to rekindle You got to rekindle this spirit that was given you.
These verses of scripture too gives you the idea that to rekindle or you know, to bring it back out is part of your testimony. Mm-hmm. It's part of the word that I'm going to talk about in my study. So, yeah, looking at it from that point of view, it's,
Now, the way he acts on the Holy Spirit will be different because the dispensation has changed and there's no more tongues, no more healing, no more raising the dead, no more of any of these gifts of the Spirit.
But the power is still there.
But the power is still there.
Yeah. See, the power given is,
it's that same power Paul talks about in Ephesians.
Yeah, it's, and Paul, in the laying on of the hands, Paul and the elders there were the transformers that transformed the power of God into a human that he can take or that he can use. Mm-hmm. And so that should always be part of your testimony. And that's what he's getting into. So, you know, here I am on the brink of...
See, when we get it, whenever we understand the mystery, I believe that we're imparted a certain amount of... we have the Holy Spirit within us.
Yeah.
And we can use it according to that Spirit, but we didn't get it the same way Timothy got it.
Yeah.
In this dispensation, we couldn't. Because Paul's dead. He's not going to be able to lay his hands on us and impart that spirit to us like he did to Timothy back in the book of Acts. But nonetheless, we still have that self-same spirit.
Yeah.
Else Paul wouldn't have talked about it in Ephesians.
Yeah. Yeah, the, and, you know, this situation is more of the situation that we have now seems to work better more with a one-on-one rather than a group getting together and
more of a being able to impart the truth of the mystery and the power that goes with it to others. Because if you think about it, what you literally have the power to do is through the Spirit of God, you have the power to open your mouth to help somebody see what is the dispensation of the mystery and add one more person to that finite number of people that will be part of that body of
Christ. Amen.
And that, to me, that's a pretty big deal.
Amen. Okay, to read it, and then we'll go home.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to.
That's okay. That's a good lead-in. And it says... there, as we read it, to neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery or by the elders. Neglect not, and that's, 272 in the Strong's in the Greek, and it's Amel Echo. Not to be careless, or to make light, or do not regard the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. And I want you to go back to 1 Timothy 1:18, and let's read it. This is important. He says, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Because it's, the power is still there in the deal with the Holy Spirit dealing with mind and heart. And so it's.
And remember the Lord prophesied that greater things will you do in my name. And after he was gone.
Yeah.
Of course, the prophecy was that the apostles would put forth him. But, you know, we later heard of Christ by them that heard him.
Yeah.
Through the apostles in the book of Acts. That's, right. That's how he presented himself.
Yeah. To by the hand, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. And the presbytery there is the order of the elders of Israel of the Sanhedrin Council. This event must have been a specific one known to Paul through prophecy of which he himself involved the elders. And then Jack is given scriptures to go along with that. Now I want to read you what Jack says, and then we'll in 14 here. And he says, don't be negligent, Paul tells Paul. But the linear sense indicates that Timothy is in a state of timidity and neglect. Paul gives us the fact that Timothy has a gift. More specifically, the gift was made known to Paul through prophecy. Then Paul and the elders laid hands on Timothy. Extrapolate from this verse that all of God's people had certain gifts and that they should not neglect the gifts which God had given them. Be that as it may, such ideas cannot be sanctioned from this verse. This is a specific, particular situation pertaining to Timothy, Paul, and the elders involved. And so it gives a scripture that goes along with that. And we'll do that next time we get here. We'll reread that one a little bit and do the same thing like we did tonight. Because there's a lot of stuff that Jack wants us to bring up in these things. And that scripture is very important that way. And so we'll bypass next Wednesday if you don't mind, and we'll pick up with it after the conference comes and goes. And so we've just about to finish the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy, not far down the road, and then he goes on to tell us that there's a little more that goes along in 1 Timothy 5 with this same idea of understanding. And there in chapter 5. And so we'll end with that, and thank you for being with us tonight. I hope you got something from that. God bless you. Hope to see you or to hear from you or whatever during our conference. Really, I'm kind of like running now. I'm really getting ready to look upon. God bless.